Well, the field of robotics has revolutionised everything from manufacturing to farming and medicine. In Australia, the sector has been hugely influenced by the work of Professor Peter Cork, who's helped to develop robots for mining and agriculture, as well as for online educational resources. Peter Cork joins me now. Peter, welcome to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
Can you trace back to your initial curiosity about robots?
I think my first exposure to robots was probably when I was a kid and I was given a How and Why Wonder Book of robots and electronic brains. I still have it, and it's some from the 1960s, and it's got these wonderful, optimistic, futuristic sort of views and pictures about the technology of the future, most of which has not come to pass.
And do members of the public really understand the reach of robotics now, and in how many of the products, the foods, other things that we have in our homes that are processed or may have been touched by robots on the way through?
I think most people have got no idea at all about the reach of robots today. Most people's view of robots is coloured very much by fiction, whether that's by books, novels, or by movies. And so most people's conception of a robot, it's something like C-3PO. It is a very competent humanoid that can do almost anything. The robots we have today, the ones that touch most of the products that we use, are much, much more prosaic. Than that. Not nearly so interesting. But those C-3PO style robots are perhaps the beacon on the hill, right?
Mm. Peter, I love a Venn diagram. How much of a blurring are we seeing with robotics and AI now?
It's a really good question. AI, to my mind, is a computer system that takes in some data and outputs some data. So you ask it to draw you a picture and it outputs a picture, or you give it some data and you ask it to look for anomalies or something like that. A robot, if you like, is an AI system that's connected to the physical world. So that means it can see, understand what's happening in the world, and it can change the world with an arm, it can pick something up. With wheels, it can move from one place to another. With propellers, it might fly through the air or under the water. So AI is a really critical component of a modern robot system. If you like, it's the brain, and the robot, the rest of the robot, the machine, is what connects that brain to the world.
Peter, what does the pathway look like at the moment for those who are interested in studying and manufacturing robots down the track? We know a lot of kids get a bit of a go in primary or secondary school. Is there a clear pathway beyond that for that to become a profession for those who have that early interest?
I think for those who have the interest and want to turn it into a profession, the important thing is to keep going hard through high school, look at taking subjects in computing, in design, in mathematics, and physics. Those are the essential skills that we need to produce modern robotic systems.
Your contribution to education in robotics has been recognised in Australia and internationally as well. How important is education in this field, do you think?
I think it's really, really important. Now, and the particular aspect of education that I'm interested in is what I call accessibility. And that is, in a country like Australia, the opportunities for most people to go to university and have the opportunity to study something like robotics is pretty decent. In the United States and Europe, it's the same. But there are so many people that I've been in contact with in Africa, in South America, Bangladesh, Pakistan, the Middle East, and they just do not have the opportunities at all to study a subject like robotics. If they even can get to university, the university is very unlikely to be able to teach them that subject. So I think my work in education has been about trying to democratize access to knowledge about robotics, because there's a ton of talent out there in all of those countries, far more people than we have in the so-called West.
The talent here in Australia, is there much brain drain here in Australia, either at the university period or after that, Peter?
There's certainly a lot of brain drain at the PhD level. So in my lab at QT in Brisbane, I would say more than half of our PhD students headed off overseas. And that's because the opportunities for them, the big tech companies, offer, you know, exciting and well-remunerated jobs that just do not exist in Australia. And that's a sad thing, but what we're seeing now is that maybe some years down the track, 5 to 10 years, they're starting to come back. And that's perhaps they're married and they want to bring up kids in Australia because it's a great place to raise kids. So I'm hoping that with these people coming back, they've learned a lot, they've got great networks. The sad thing is we still don't really have the opportunities for them here.
The federal government last year published its national robotics strategy. It says it will, quote, help to build a stronger and more unified industry and harness the benefits of robotics and automation across our economy. Has that had much impact as yet, Peter?
Sad to say, in my view, no, it hasn't. The attitudes that it expressed are great. We'd love for many of the things that are in this strategy to come to be, but there has not been any sort of real change in funding or real change in policy to make that come true.
You're listening to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast. My guest today is one of the leaders in the robotics field in Australia, Professor Peter Cork. Peter, what sort of policy change does Australia need, in your view, to better support onshore development?
So there's something like 400 small robotics companies in Australia. So they actually produce robots for all sorts of different applications or various bits of robot technology. They're small. And to keep them, in order for them to grow or not be taken over by big overseas companies, we need to provide them with customers. So anything a government can do to help big Australian companies that need robotic technology to source from Australian companies rather than overseas companies, that would be very welcome. The Australian government is also a huge procurer of technologies in defence and in health, for example, that areas where we spend a lot of public money. And robotics increasingly has got strong applications in health and in defence. So if we could procure from local companies, we can grow those companies. We also give ourselves what's often called these days sovereign capability, right? The ability to be self-reliant rather than rely on others.
How do you see the conundrum around ethics with robotics, Peter? Not only in what robots can do and making sure that they're safe and they're not going to do harm, but also the fact that if it was previously human hands doing this job, there is some displacement in some fields by robotics. How do you get your head around all of that?
It's complex, and it's not as simple as you put a robot into a job and therefore people are automatically made unemployed. In this country, for example, we have problems in agriculture, particularly fruit picking. People in Australia don't want to go pick fruit, right? It's hard work, it's outdoors, it's a long way from a city, the Wi-Fi is slow, the coffee's bad. So we have a Pacific guest worker program. It's not much talked about. We bring people in from Pacific Islands to pick fruit because Australians don't want to do that. That's good for the Pacific Island guest workers. But robotics can potentially fill a gap here. If there are jobs that people do not want to do, but we still want to eat nice, locally grown, fresh fruit, robotics is another way to solve that particular problem. Consider something like the car manufacturing industry, which we once had. If that industry had employed a lot more robotics and automation, we could have probably brought down the cost of manufacturing cars in Australia. The companies would still have been successful and maybe would still be operating today. So it's a bit of a trade. We could have had more robots and fewer people in the factories, but we would still have had the factories and all the knock-on benefits that that has. It's companies that pay tax, employ some people, supports a supply chain. So yeah, it's very nuanced, but it is an ethical minefield.
Peter, I really appreciate you being my guest this morning. And I must, before the text line lights up, I don't drink coffee, but I must defend coffee in regional Australia. It's very, very good. It's very, very lovely. Peter, thank you so much for being my guest this morning.
Thanks, Sally.
Peter Cork there, a distinguished emeritus professor at Queensland University of Technology. He's been recognised internationally for his work, not only in robotics, but in robotics education as well.